My question is, how will you keep these folks, your friends and colleagues, from shoveling all the wealth into the pockets of the rich and reverse the trend of inequality that we've been suffering so long?
Well, first of all, I'm supportive of things like the civil rights movement back in the 60s and the legislation that makes equal opportunity for all under the law, okay? That might entail equal pay for women in the workplace. It does. That legislation is separate legislation as well in the civil rights. And so that's untrue. So actually, Republicans more strongly supported the legislation for the Civil Rights Amendment back in the 60s than did the Democrats. So we are all about equal opportunity for people that want to apply themselves. You get free education in this country. You have every opportunity if you apply yourself. So it's not about equality of outcome. It's equality of opportunity to go and make it happen. Now, if people are finding that they're being discriminated against, we have laws that should come down upon them firmly for doing that. So, the question is equal opportunity for everyone. If laws are being violated that don't provide for that equal opportunity, then the prosecution needs to happen upon that. So, let's go to comments.
You up, sir?
Yes, thank you.
State your name and where you're from, and Shane will give you the red sign when your minute is up. Shane is on stage.
Oh, okay. Hi, Congressman. My name is Gordon Gregory, and I'm from Paradise. First, I appreciate you coming to this town hall and giving us an opportunity to address you. Couldn't pay me enough money to stand up there. And we appreciate much of the work that you do. However, what worries most of your constituents, as well as 64% of Americans, is that climate change is beginning to alter weather patterns that could overwhelm our infrastructure and our environment. As a member of the Chico chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby, I encourage you to read the Pentagon's 2014 Quadrennial Defense Review, which states that strategic threats around the world are already being intensified by climate change, and those threats will grow as carbon levels rise in the atmosphere. As you are aware, former Secretaries of State George Shultz and James Baker and others are arguing for a market-based, non-regulatory approach to the issue. They are calling for a fee on carbon coupled with a dividend program to reimburse citizens for the increased cost of fuel and other commodities. They have called it a conservative free market strategy, a prudent form of insurance against what could be catastrophic changes to our climate and our way of life. From your webpage, I see that climate change is not one of your political priorities. But I think the time is coming when Congress will act, and I hope you will join leaders such as your fellow California Congressman Daryl Issa in the growing bipartisan Climate Leadership Caucus so you can put a conservative stamp on the shape of climate change policy. Again, thank you for holding this town hall and for working on behalf of the residents of your district and the people of the nation.
Shane, I'll show you a card when it'll be read when the minute's up. Okay. And if you can state your name and where you're from.
Okay. My name is Michael Pollard. I live in Paradise. I'm a retired teacher from Oroville. After 17 years in teaching in Oroville for Thermalito and Oroville Adult School, I also have 18 years of employment covered by Social Security. So my comment to you, Congressman LaMalfa, is to co-sponsor and support the Social Security Fairness Act of 2017, H.R. 1205. I get approximately 40% of my Social Security retirement because I'm also a retired teacher. This has come up for many years. I'm sure you're aware of it. And I do ask you to co-sponsor this piece of legislation, which I think is in the works currently. I have another comment, and that's regarding the democratic process. And I'm hearing tonight that many of you disagree strongly with your views, and believers in the democratic process, I urge all of you who feel that way to get out the vote next time around. Jim Reed will probably be running. That's the way we do it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. One of our staff, please write down the bill number 1205, okay? And we will take a look at that. We want to make Social Security sustainable long term. So let's go to the question.
Are we on? Hello. My name is Donna Levitt. I live in Nevada City. My stepdaughter died at age 33. She was a single mother of three. She was a low-income worker who worked for an employer who did not provide health care. The day she went to the emergency room one day with a terrible headache, she was sent home, and she died that night. Had this been a few years later, she would have been eligible for the Medicaid expansion, and she would have hopefully received an MRI and the health care that she needed. I urge you to reconsider your position on Medicaid. It's not enough to just protect coverage for those who are already covered. A plan that takes Medicaid opportunities and coverage away from new recipients is not acceptable. My question to you has to do with cost-sharing subsidies. People who buy insurance through the exchange, one thing that I think we agree on is that the deductibles are too high, but the cost-sharing subsidies that help people with their co-pays and actually make it affordable for people to see a doctor are now under attack from President Trump. And, okay, the question is, will you oppose the cuts in cost-saving subsidies that could cost California, as I understand it, $700 million and affect 600,000 Californians? Thank you.
Thank you. What we're working towards is maintaining that only in the form of the refundable tax credits, which is actually a more streamlined approach to the dollars coming back to the user of the, okay? So we don't want to, in any way, as has been said about the bill, to deny those folks that are in that direct need that are in the Medicaid system. So the refundable tax credits, we believe, would be able to achieve greater cost savings and get the still get the need met by those. If you would like, we can get you the information so you can read that, since it's pretty hard to impart much here too. But our goal is to be able to have that coverage still be able to extend it, and for those that are on the lower income end of the scale, get that refundable tax credit, which puts dollars in their pocket towards those premiums, okay? You were very nice. I'd like, please, if you'd like to follow up, please.
I did want to follow up about tax credits, if I may. You know, my daughter, she was doing everything she could to provide for her family and didn't have the funding to put out for the doctor's visits. Without the cost-sharing subsidies, the tax credits are not going to do any good because...
Yeah! You know what we have is a term. It's a terminology thing. It isn't a tax. The refundable tax credit means an actual payment does come, regardless of the taxable income by her. So there is funds that are provided regardless of the income. That's what that means. Okay. Now I question the terminology myself, but it does mean that she would still be eligible for that payment to direct towards it. It's just in a different form, okay?
I'll hold
Hi, my name is Kathy Kokolatsos, and I'm from Oroville. And I've totally changed what I came here to say. First of all, please don't yell, because I know you have things to say, but I only have 60 seconds. I chose the comment line because I didn't want to listen to your BS rhetoric. Stop it! Just stop the noise.
What makes me think I want to hear that then?
Oh, I have to hold it too, up to my mouth. What?
If you're going to talk that way, how do you think that's an interaction?
I'm okay. Stop it! Would you stop it? You're wasting my time. I want to say that these people, many of these people I know, did not vote for you. But whether we voted for you or not, you are our employee. And the things that... Stop it! The things that we say here tonight, you take back to your office, you take back to Washington, because you represent me and all of these people. Now, you seem to be ignorant of the global climate change problem and what is causing it. You were very smug a few seconds ago or a few minutes ago about, oh yeah, it changes all the time. That's BS. You need to go take a lesson and learn. Also, Trump is an idiot. He's a complete idiot. I'm going to say it more.
Next.
Hi there. If you could say your name and where you're from.
So is it okay for me to wait?
Whenever you want to start.
Okay, but is my time getting used up? Okay, everybody, now it's my time. 60 seconds is short. First, I want to ask you, Representative LaMalfa, to open your heart and listen to what we're saying, because we are speaking. Some people are yelling, some people are praying, some people are crying, but we are speaking from the deepest parts of ourselves, and that's why we're here today. Number one, I have so many things that I want to cover in the few seconds I have left. Number one, the problems with ACA, that's true. Affordable Care Act has some big problems. Trump Care had much bigger problems. The only solution to health care is single payer. It removes the middleman. It removes the people who are getting wealthy off our health care dollars. So the next two things I want to mention are also about people who are getting wealthy off of destroying our planet. Number one is climate change, which we would have been forged ahead about addressing solutions to climate change if it wasn't for big oil and big business that are so greedy that they cannot see that our whole planet is in danger. Human life is in danger. My grandchildren who live in San Francisco are in danger of being flooded. One more thing real quick. I just need to also mention about what was... Oh, nuclear war. We are on the verge of nuclear... It's being threatened the way it never has before since Hiroshima. And it's got to be turned around. And that's also because there are a lot of people making a lot of money on nuclear weapons. And that's not a reason to wage war.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
I'm Mike Vassar, resident of Grass Valley, California. How will you guarantee a full, fair, and complete investigation of Trump's campaign connections and possible collusion with Russian operatives? Will you support an independent commission, a special prosecutor, or a select committee? Yes or no, please.
The House committee is working on that as we speak. As for the finance side, I think you alluded to as well, the president has...
Yes or no answer?
The answer is the House committee is working on it. It is in process. One step at a time. One step at a time.
Hi, my name is Anna Farrell, and I'm from Chico, California. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous. I have a comment because I believe and I hope that you'll find common ground on this issue. I know that you are against abortion, and I believe that the best way to reduce the number of abortions is to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies. And the way that you, the way that we can do that is by making sure that there is as much access for all women to have contraception. And I don't know how you can do that, but I really encourage you to be an incredible Republican leader and bring this back to Washington and prove that you are different and that you really believe in reducing abortion and that the way to do it is by reducing the number of unwanted pregnancies. Thank you.
I think we can find common ground there.
Good evening, Congressman. My name is Michelle Saldana. I run an, I work for Aegis Treatment Centers. We're a drug and alcohol program. Every 15 minutes, a person dies of opioid overdose in the U.S., and over 700 of your constituents are receiving medication-assisted treatment for opioid addiction. This benefit is critical to their recovery, and it reduces the harm to the individual, the family, and our community. The opioid epidemic is severe in our community. Many people have been able to access treatment paid for through the ACA. Whatever health care plan the new government comes up with, please don't take that access away. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Much is being done in Congress on the opioids. Please get your senators to support the House legislation. Thank you.
My name is Charles Withhune, Chico, California. As a previous comment was made, the state of California voted overwhelmingly to support a resolution to overturn Citizens United. Yes or no, Congressman LaMalfa, will you co-sponsor House Joint Resolution 48 to overturn Citizens United? Yes or no?
No.
Whoa.
Yes, my name's Steve Henson. I'm from Oroville, California, and the issue that I'd like to address to you would be the funding that's being taken away from mental health services and addiction centers and things of that sort. I myself am a client of an addiction center and have become very, very involved in advocacy for this. It would be devastating to take these fundings from people in this country that we have an opiate addiction problem in this country that has gone rampant, and people are dying every day of this. This program does work. I have been clean for over 3 years, and it does work. It works. I feel like I am a person again. Please, please don't take the funding away from these special needs programs. Thank you.
We won't.
My name is Judson Lee. I'm also here to represent 700 constituents in medication-assisted treatment for opiate addiction. I just wanted to say that I hope you'll do everything that you can to support the essential benefits of substance abuse treatment and mental health treatment for your constituents. Thank you.
Hi, Doug. Okay, so in March of this year, in an interview with Record Searchlight Newsroom, when asked about voter fraud, you said that, quote, let's see if I can find it, we don't really have the demographics that would really, that would be a really big push for that. Now, I actually agree with you, because according to the Washington Post, U.S. News, Vox, and Slate, all of which are reputable news sources, according to third-party fact-checking websites, there is no voter fraud problem. However, so this question is kind of confusing, so that comment of yours is kind of confusing. What demographics are not in your area that you think would not cause voter fraud? Who are you picturing committing voting fraud here?
We want to be sure that our voting system has full integrity. And what I see in California is that the way people are registered automatically at DMV does not provide for the type of voter integrity. So I believe a voter ID system is important. It's not an inconvenience. It's something that providing for voter integrity is very, very important. So the sanctity of our elections, so that the integrity of our elections is upheld. And so we can't take chances with that. We can't play games with that. That's why I firmly believe. Why the paint here tonight?
I'm dressed as the Wicked Witch of the West. She takes down corrupt politicians.
If you don't mind a little levity, I kind of remember a Star Trek episode, you know, green. Yeah. All right. Okay, let's go to the comments.
If you can say where you're from.
Good afternoon. My name's Carol Anderson. I'm from Oroville, and I've been to a number of these events. I hope that we can find a little bit of common ground. I hope you agree with me that policy decisions should be based on factual evidence. I feel like the current administration denigrates the employees of the federal government who are faced with the job of acquiring information, whether they're scientists or operating NOAA satellites or some of the NASA satellites that look back at the Earth rather than out at space. And it seems to me that all of those agencies that acquire information about the Earth that could be used for making good decisions are being threatened by the current budget. You have the ability to participate in that budget process and influence whether these agencies are cut or not. I know you make a point about you don't want some bureaucrat being in charge of your health care or whatever, but I feel like those people are working just for their salary and for what they think is right. They don't have to answer to lobbyists or campaign for financing their next election. All they're working on is doing their job. I would rather trust a bureaucrat than a politician to tell the truth.
You can't unelect a bureaucrat, though.
Hello. Hi, Doug. My name's Kyle McKenzie. I'm from Chico, California.
Start over, please. They're still yelling. Go ahead.
Kyle McKenzie from Chico, California. Raised here in CD1. And I want to start just by thanking you. Really appreciate you doing this today. I'm aligned with most of the people here, but I know how hard it can be to stand up there. With that said, though, I really want to just encourage everyone to actually get involved. Yelling and screaming is great, but I was involved in a congressional campaign for Doug's opponent this last year. I didn't I thank you very much, but I didn't see many of you out there, so I'm not trying to attack you, but I want to see you out there come 2018 in June, regardless of who's on the other side of the ticket. Thank you.
There we go.
Hi, I'm Jordan Michelena. I go to Chico Junior High. At our school, we have been learning about how to find credible sources so then we know what we're researching is true, and that's been very helpful with the news lately, finding out what is actually real news or what people are just saying is fake news. And I have just a few yes or no questions for you. Yes or no, do you support alternative facts? And yes or no, do you support dismantling the national standards of education? Yes or no, do you believe in the separation of church and state? Yes or no, should federal money be spent on religious schools?
You're going to have to do them one at a time, okay?
Okay. So, do you support the use of alternative facts?
No.
Do you support dismantling national standards of education?
Dismantling standards of education?
Board of Education.
We need to have a national standard that is cohesive from state to state, but we shouldn't have national intervention. I support having level standards across the 50 states.
Okay. Do you believe in the separation of church and state?
I don't believe that's ever been written in the Constitution. I think it's a... The intent was that the government would not be forcing the establishment of a religion, not taking away their free exercise thereof.
And should federal money be spent on religious schools?
One more time, couldn't hear.
Should federal money be spent on religious schools?
Should federal funds go towards religious schools?
Yes.
I think if people have the choice of taking their dollars and putting it where they wish to educate their children, it could go anywhere.
Oh, sure. You do. Yes. Yeah, give them to Shane.
What school are you from? All right, comments.
Hi, Mr. Malafa. My name is Grayson Reynolds. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a junior at Orville High School. And last Thursday, you came to Orville High School, and you allowed students and staff to ask questions. And I want to thank you for that, because you opened the door to government, and you showed them that our congressman is there for us, and he's standing for us. And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
And one thing that I wanted to add was that I don't think that the people in this room are very representative of the constituents that you represent. I think...
Hey, you know what? You know what? You can do it to me, but don't do it to this young man who's a student, okay?
Frankly, you could tell them that the sky was blue and they would disagree because it came out of your mouth. And I know that I go to Oroville and I'm around the students every day, and an overwhelming majority of them are in support of you, and we respect you, and we stand with you. Thank you. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Good evening, Congressman LaMalfa. How are you, sir? I, too, would like to thank you, as the two gentlemen before me, for coming out and standing up here and tolerating this conduct. And there's a way to discuss your issues in a civilized way, but I am just beyond appalled about how things have happened this evening. At the core, I still haven't used my 60 seconds. At the core of this nation's, this world's issues is a turning our backs on God. God is in control of the weather. God created the heavens and the earth.
Please.
And I'll keep talking. Won't get to the other side. And I've read the Constitution over, which, by the way, was steeped, if you look into your history and do your lessons, was steeped in biblical precepts. So our laws, and there's nowhere in the Constitution that it gives the right to any of the things I've heard here this evening. It does not. It's very, very specific to our federal government, whose main job is to protect us from foreign and domestic enemies, not to provide us with every little want or need we think we have. That is not your job as the federal government. And as to the criminal issues here in California, we can thank Governor Brown, who has given us AB 109, Prop 107 through the voters, and Prop 57 through the voters, which has released onto innocent people all sorts of criminals running amok in this state.
Hi, I'm Liz Michelena, and I'm from Chico, and this is my second town hall. I was at the one in Nevada City, and I have to say that I find the religious invocation at the beginning to be disturbing in a where we should have separation of church and state at a state event. Your
well,
voting
House, the House of Representatives opens with an invocation. Most city council meetings, you know, many, many things in this country traditionally have began with one, so.
It's disturbing. Your voting record shows that you have voted in lockstep with the president's agenda at every possible opportunity. Would you please describe how being a follower of the president with the lowest approval rating in history makes you a good leader worthy of our support for re-election?
Well, first of all, he's only been in office about 3 months. And the legislation starts in the House or the Senate and goes to the president, so it doesn't necessarily have his stamp on it before it leaves our House. So the legislative process starts in the Capitol, goes to. So when you know, you choose to follow whoever you wish to and their philosophical beliefs, mine follow a pretty conservative way of doing things, and so whoever coincides with that, great, we'll work together.
Do you have your own thoughts, your own opinions that differ from the president's agenda?
I haven't even fleshed out what completely he wants to do yet. So, you know, I'm about infrastructure, like repairing our dam, building our highways, building more water storage, having a healthcare system that people can afford, having a school system that gives people choices where they send their kids, having the freedom in this country, whether that's the Second Amendment or First Amendment. All those issues that I'm for, that are constitutional and made our country what as strong as it is back when it was formed 230 plus years ago. So I don't follow any particular person's agenda because I stand for my own. And when I'm up for election every 2 years, I present my ideas to the voters and they say yay or nay.
Thank you. My name is Karen Duncanwood, and I'm from Paradise. It's hard to know where to start with you, Congressman. I've been in touch with your office for many years. Usually, I get pushed aside. I have to call your Washington office to find out your position on anything, and they won't tell me it until after the vote. So that's very disturbing. It's important to be transparent with your constituents, even though we're not one of us. I always wondered what that slogan meant. It's such a divisive slogan. Who is the us that we're not, that you're one of and I'm not? I want you to know that I was a civil rights worker in 1964. The sheriff's deputies burned down the church I taught Freedom School in. They wore Klan robes by night. I'm very concerned with the right to vote. The Republican Party has introduced 32 state measures to restrict the vote. I don't understand how you can do that. There is lots of people who don't have birth certificates because they were burnt up in fires a long time ago, or they had home births because they couldn't get into the white hospital near them. I come from a family of 5 veterans. You always vote against veterans' benefits. My youngest brother committed suicide 2 years ago. There isn't any mental health system in this country. You know it. You've known it all your life in office, and you've done nothing about it. So I would just like to say that I also have a son with a disability who uses a wheelchair and speaks through a computer. He's on the National Self-Advocacy Board, and he's going to your meeting in Reading Wednesday night. And I hope you call on him because
what's his name?
Ryan Duncanwood.
I think I met him in Washington here recently.
Yes, you did. On your way out, he has tried to meet with you 5 times, and 5 times you haven't had time for him. So I just want you to know that I was ready to die in peace once my son had a place to live that he couldn't be kicked out of, and they had Medicaid. He has a small business. You don't see him as a small businessman. He does, but he also gets Medicaid and Medicare. And when I called your national office and talked to your national legislative director on health care, she told me that you were going to vote for Trump care even after it was gutted. You should be ashamed.
Hi, my name is Cindy Lede. I'm from Chico, and I am a criminal justice major. Conservatives and Republicans seem to think that Muslims are terrorists. Black people are thugs. They've made this very clear, because if we dream and work hard enough, racism will cease to exist. However, a white boy shoots up a black church, a school, a movie theater, and he's not a terrorist. He's a lone wolf that went astray. They've also made it clear that it is not a gun issue, it is a mental health issue. That is what they tell us. Yet Trump Care has no interest in making any sort of improvement to our mental health research and help for those in mental and emotional need. I'm curious about your views. You swear by this so-called reform. It's either a mental health issue or a gun issue. So since you don't care about mental health, does this mean you're against the Second Amendment? Because you might have some explaining to do with your Republican friends. Know this, LaMalfa, your community is filled with people of color, women, LGBT people, and people with mental and physical disabilities. We exist, we are here, we are legal, you work for us, but not for long!
So we are...
If you were listening, you would have heard we fought very hard for a good mental health bill. And we've succeeded in getting it through the House and Senate.
We are pushing 7 o'clock, so we are pushing 7 o'clock. We're on it.
20 minutes late. Hello, Mr. LaMalfa. My name is Blue Petit. We've had inactions before. One of the inactions that I had, I'm a veteran. I'm a 100% veteran that put my life on the line for this country. For the freedom. Yeah. And in an instance, I asked for a letter from you, and you gave it to me for my medical reasons for me to get my VA pensions and stuff, right? And I appreciate that. But what I'm talking about now is right now. And it's on the veterans. Yes, it's been a great deal going on for the veterans right now, okay? But what I see is going to be implicated is another private industry that's going in to take care of veterans, to take care of people that's working there, that has been in the service, that has spent their life with the VA, is now going to be X'd out with private industry. And so another thing that I'm talking about is Orville. I'm an NAACP representative. And what I see in Orville right now is that federal money is coming into this place, and I don't see none of my community making anything off of this. Okay. So the question is, how can you help us through all this that we went through? Orville people went through that flood and that scare, and some got to come out for us. Now, give us some employment. Here in the worst employment town in Butte County. Give us some employment off that dam that we got scared of.
Thank you. Thank you for your service as a veteran. It's more than we can say in appreciation. And I'm glad that my office has been able to be helpful in getting an answer to your question with a very reluctant VA sometimes. That lady right there holding the microphone, as well as two others that staff here, work much of their time on veterans' issues in order to get this recalcitrant VA organization to listen to you. And we get a lot of results on that. Not as fast as I would wish sometimes, but we, and so for you and for your veteran friends that sometimes are frustrated, we're here to help on that and tell them do not give up, okay? Do not give up with what they have coming. We have in this country many veterans that do give up. And we see anywhere from 12 to 22 that commit suicide because they think they have a country that doesn't care about them anymore. So if you have friends that aren't getting where they need to be, we can help them get to the goal line, okay? Now, what you're talking about, I think, on concern on privatization of VA, what we pushed through my first term was that we saw a giant problem with VA and its backlog, long lists, people falling off the list, being created and put on a new list or a secret list, all this stuff that are trying to get in line to have a healthcare situation resolved for them. And so what we need is to have veterans to have more choices of where they can take their veteran health needs. That's why we passed the Veterans Choice Act, okay? So that you would not have to wait a long time, say more than 30 days, for an appointment or have to travel long distances to Sacramento or Martinez or somewhere else to go to a clinic. And then we hear stories where they get down there and say, oh, we lost your appointment. So you've wasted all that time and gas and go to that. You can take your health care need to a local clinic, a local lab, a local doctor, whatever fits your need, and have that need met timely. I would think the VA would be happy with that to have their backlog made shorter. So as far as local jobs here, I'm all about restoring our economy to Oroville, to Northern California, rural America. And the things we used to produce a lot of times come from our rural type agrarian or forestry, all those things that we do in this area. If we store water, we have more agriculture. If we're able to cut some trees, we used to have a robust timber industry in this town. These are the jobs that people can, that they can utilize and get a really good wage, have a benefit package that a lot of them pay. That, what? We want to bring them back. I'm fighting to bring them back. Part of that you'll see going into rebuilding this dam. I want to ensure that local jobs are part of that process where appropriate, but also restoring the jobs that we can do, because we have 100 million dead trees in California's forests right now, and we need to be harvesting those and getting them out to reduce the fire threat. We need lumber jobs. We need mill jobs. Those are the kinds of things that we can readily do that would benefit our economy, our environment, and the people of this area. So these are the things I fight for on the Natural Resources Committee, Ag Committee, Transportation Infrastructure. On the Trans Committee, we want to build more of our highways, rebuild those broken lanes we have, like you ever driven up the right lane of High-5. This is the kind of stuff that puts jobs on the ground for all of us, for our people. This is the stuff I'm fighting for. And again, if the jobs are coming back to the United States instead of being chased out of the country by regulatory, by against American jobs. I am, sir. When we get this going, the jobs will be here, they'll be everywhere, and we can produce. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Agreed.
Okay. My name's Denise Hardy, and I'm from Chico. And I'm here to
just tell you what I think about a few issues that are important to me. I have written to you 3 different emails over the course of the last year and a half and requested a response back and have never received one. I have very great concerns about gun control and the lack thereof. Schools should be safe places. The epidemic of school shootings is insanity, and it's stunning to me that we can have a Sandy Hook situation and our Congress does nothing. And these were children who were 6 years old, and they were slaughtered. And so we tie that into mental health funding. And I heard somebody over here say something very obnoxious just a few minutes ago about mental health being about drugs. No, mental health is an illness. Bipolar, schizophrenia, there are all kinds of mental health issues that people are not, they have no control over. And to blame drugs for all the sources of mental illness is incorrect. So I like more mental health funding, more gun control, more funding for Planned Parenthood. I want to have my right to do what I want with my body. I want my daughter to have that right as well. It is a constitutional right to have an abortion. I don't care what people say about what's in or not in the Constitution. It has been construed to be part of the 14th Amendment. It is there, and leave it alone already. Roe v. Wade is law. Yes. So, and lest you paint me into a certain box, I'm the wife of a vet, I'm the daughter of a veteran, I have all kinds of views. I'm not necessarily one thing or the other, but I do feel like this Trump administration is stunning to me in its crassness, in its hatred toward so many types of people and concepts. I want people who need government benefits to get them. Not everyone can work. There's so much trauma in poverty. And so that needs to be supported. I see you're looking at your watch. I get it. But there's so much that needs to be done. And I don't think I can look to you to do that. And that makes me sad. You're a nice man. But I'm voting for someone else next time. I've never voted for you.
How about it? Okay, next.
Hi, my name is Joan Webster, and I'm from Durham. I'd like to thank you for what you do for agriculture and water. It's an important asset that we all need to use and be able to share with Southern California, and we have to have it to share it. As far as medical, Obamacare, for me, is a disaster. And so I encourage you to do something. I didn't follow the new legislation that much, so I can't say good or bad, but Obamacare was a disaster for me as a small business, bottom of the middle income thing, too high of deductibles. Every time I make more money, I have to pay more for the insurance, and it doesn't work out. So, I appreciate all of you guys, and you all have an opinion, but we all would have got more out of this if we could all speak a little bit separately. So, for the people that want one insurance, why do our friends from Canada come to the United States to get care? So, thank you, and thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you. All right. All right. We're gonna do a couple more, and then our time is already expired. Let's do a couple more, okay?
Good evening, Mr. LaMaffa. Good evening, Mr. LaMaffa. There's 2 questions I have for you. My first question is, why did you vote against everything that President Obama proposed? Were none of those bills well enough for the American people? Secondly, again, you do work for us, the people. You work for us.
How will you ensure that we have the proper programming that will move us to a more sustainable tomorrow? With that being said, please do not take away the funding for women's rights and women's care.
Thank you.
I don't want you to decide what I can do with my body.
Okay, that's fine. You know, there's a lot of people believe the taxpayers shouldn't be the ones paying for those decisions.
Why did you vote against every bill that was proposed by President Obama?
I did not. The House, the Senate sent many pieces of legislation to the president that he signed. So we find agreement on some things. We found agreement on several aspects of the Affordable Care Act that the president signed. So, you know, it comes down to philosophical differences on how you view the world. You know, I mean, we have a $20 trillion national debt that we have to do something about, because that'll be crushing debt on our children coming down time, the interest on the debt. So yes, we found disagreement, but we found plenty of times of agreement as well. So
being said, again, you work for us, the people. How will you ensure that we have programming that moves us toward a more sustainable tomorrow?
That's why I'm all about jobs, the things I've been talking about. This is how we sustain it, by having a strong economy. You have nothing if you don't have an economy that generates the ability for people to take care of themselves, generate tax dollars, so that the government can have a fair level of tax to run the things that we need.
You're taking away the jobs, our scientists' jobs. Global warming, is that not real? Is that not real?
We're trying to promote jobs, and they've been taken away by government regulations and shipped overseas.
You're in charge of that. Why?
I've only been there 4 years and 3 months, so I've been trying to push in a direction to bring the jobs back so we have a sustainable economy and that people can produce in this country, not somewhere else. So then we'll have, if we have that wealth being created in the United States, we can do great things. Okay? Thank you. All right. We're going to wrap up here with
recall.
Our final two comments. So go ahead. Let's get started. Last two comments.
Congressman, I'm glad you're standing proud. You and I both grew up in this county in the 70s and 80s. We had a healthy lumber industry. We had a healthy aggregate industry. We had a healthy farming industry. And we had a healthy, absolutely. Up here we did, not LA. The question for you is, are you going to support Bill and Hillary's investigation for $120 million bill that they got paid for uranium in the United States? Then, let's talk about the real stuff. As a county supervisor for 12 years, okay, you know, you guys got your chance. For 12 years, we have been trying to deal with DWR about this dam, and whether people here understand this, this dam is the lifeblood of a huge amount of California. We have fought it, and now they want the feds to pay for the fix. My question to you is, are you going to make LA and all the contractors pay for the fix of this, or are we as taxpayers going to finance their water supply, which candidly, I'm assuming when this gets paid for, we could have built the Sites Reservoir that you've been fighting to get for another 900,000 acre feet of water.
Thank you. All right. Now, you're in the comment line, so answering questions, I'll give you quick ones, okay? We need to build Sites Reservoir. We do need the contractors. We do need the contractors. We do need the contractors to pay their share on this thing. And so now let's go to the comment.
I'm sorry. I don't agree with you on many things, but I do agree with you on people shouldn't be screaming and yelling. It'd be nice to get comments in. I was on the question side, and I decided I just wanted to make some comments. Two, I would like to recommend two books to you that you read. The first book is called The Sixth Extinction. The second book is The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexandra. Okay. 46% plus, a little over 46%, of all prisoners in federal prisons are in there for drug-related crimes. Drug addiction is a health issue. It is a mental health issue. It is not a crime. We need to decriminalize drugs. We need to legalize certain drugs. And we need to cut private prisons and go back to federally funded prisons. Prisons are not for profit. We have the highest incarceration rate of any modern society in the world. This is absolutely ridiculous, and it goes back to tie into many of the other issues. Education problems, health issues. We have, all of it can tie back together if we change the way we work as a society on those issues.
Thank you. Please, the books you
and
listed.
My name is Rhonda Callahan. I live in Centerville up on Butte Creek, and I'm a retired school teacher with a master's in family relations and child development.
Thank you. Please submit the list of those books to one of my staff, okay?
Okay. There you go.
Okay. Thank you. All right. One more fast comment, and we're going to wrap it up.
Okay. Yeah. Hi. My name is Bill Chekvala. I'm from Grass Valley, and I have three quick questions and a comment. Number one, how many people here would like to see Obamacare repealed and replaced with Trump 2.0? Okay. How many people here would want to keep Obamacare and see Congressman LaMalfa work harder to improve it? Last question, how many people here want to scrap all of this stuff that keeps private insurance companies involved and see it all replaced with single payer? Sir, that is your mandate from your constituents that are here tonight.
Thank you. All right. My trepidation with single payer is that a government that runs Social Security into the ground and can barely manage many aspects of it. Do you want every healthcare transaction to go through a centralized federal government process where your doctor, where your clinic, everybody has to try and get paid and soon has their dollars rationed towards the healthcare? Anyway, we're done. Thank you for gathering here tonight. I appreciate it. God bless America.